Spirit of the living God is here in this place, and he greets you with these words, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the mighty and transforming work of his Holy Spirit. We welcome all of you to worship here at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're watching online, we're so glad to have you as part of our worshiping community this morning. And we invite you all to a time of refreshments and coffee and conversation after the service that includes Dutch treats provided by the Fellowship Committee. Just head through the narthex, down the hall, and the multi-purpose room is on your right. Also, you'll notice that the table is set. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning. And so if you are a guest who normally partakes of communion in your home church, we welcome you to come and celebrate with us and to partake with us as well. This morning, as part of the offering, we will also receive the first official offering for the Henry Beats Mission Society. Henry Beats is not part of our budget, but is depends on the generosity of God's people. If you forgot today to bring that with you, you can put it in anytime in the offering plate, or you can also give online. And then one last announcement, a reminder that next Sunday, we return to one morning service at 10 o'clock. So keep that in mind, next Sunday, Memorial Weekend, one morning service at 10. This morning we celebrate Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit and all the things he does, has done, and continues to do in our lives, including what we hear in these words from Romans 8 that call us into a time of confession. Paul writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live." Our confession this morning begins with a time of silent prayer, allowing you to pray as the Spirit leads. And then we'll conclude our time of confession in song. Let us pray. Hear these words also from Romans 8, words that are assurance of pardon, and let us know that we are a forgiven people. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son to be a sin offering for us. Thanks be to God. while we're doing so, let me remind you that next Sunday begins our summer programming for kids. Kids can come on down. But we are in need of more help for that. We're doing fairly well with nursery, but with twos and threes and children's worship, we need more volunteers for these kids. So the time is shorter in the summer that you spend with them, lessons, everything's prepared for you. There's been a link sent online for that, but also you can see Anna DeBoer. She's back there by the computers after the service. She would love to speak with you, even if only you can do a Sunday or two. Good morning, everyone. Well, I hope you're doing well. Can anyone raise their hand and tell me what this is I have? What is this? It's a kite, exactly. It's a very patriotic kite with its red tails. Exactly. Can anyone raise their hand and tell me, what do I need? Hang on, you got another question. What do I need to be able to fly a kite? What do I need? I need the wind, exactly. Okay, I need the wind to fly a kite. So if I were going to run with my kite all the way down this aisle and come back, would I be able to fly my kite? No, because there's no wind in here, right? So that wouldn't work, okay? Wind is an important thing. If we're outside and it's a hot day, like today, okay, the wind, a breeze, can help cool me off, okay? Or if it's kind of hazy outside or smoky like sometimes it is, the wind can come along and blow that out and give us clean air, just like it can help fly a kite. Now, sometimes if the wind is blowing really hard, we hear it. We hear it blowing through the leaves, okay, and we hear it blowing up against the buildings. All right, so sometimes we can hear it if it's really blowing really hard. Well, a long time ago, Jesus' followers were all gathered together, and they heard something. It kind of sounded like this. Shh. And they thought, what is that? It sounded like blowing wind, but it wasn't the wind. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit to them. We have God the Father, we have God the Son and Jesus, and then we have God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was coming to those disciples, and they heard the blowing of the wind like that. Now today, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, we usually don't hear it like that. Take your hand and put it up by your ear. Put your hand by your ear. Yeah, usually we don't hear the Holy speak in our ears like that, in our hearing. Now take your hand and put it over your heart. Yeah, that's where we hear the Holy Spirit speak. Or some people say we hear it through our minds, through our conscience. Okay, let me give you a couple examples. Maybe you're walking along and you see a friend of yours sitting on a bench and she's crying. And you might think, oh, I'm not going to bother with that. That's her problem. I'm going to walk on past. But then you think, no, I should go sit next to her and see what's wrong. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you what you should do. So let's say you're at home, and on the kitchen counter is a plate of cookies, chocolate chip cookies. They look delicious, and you want to take one. But your mom said to you, no cookies till after supper, or otherwise you'll ruin your appetite. You want to take one, but in your heart, you know you shouldn't because mom said not to. That's the Holy Spirit telling you what not to do, okay? So remember, we need wind to fly our kite, right? But we need the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to tell us what we should or shouldn't do, okay? So remember that on this Pentecost, all right, as we think about the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for the blessing from the congregation? Okay, and you got to respond, remember, and also with you. Congregation, what is our prayer for these children? Go in peace. So we go to God in prayer this morning, just one update. And that is that Susan Haverkamp returned home from the hospital. Her health needs are still there. She is very much in need of our prayers, but she has returned home. Also, if you have a need for prayer, someone to pray for you, You can fill out one of the cards. It's in the pew racks. It's on the back side of the sermon note cards. And you can drop it into the wood box at the back of the narthex there at the Welcome Center. The prayer team welcomes those. They love to pray for you, and those prayer needs are kept confidential. During our pastoral prayer this morning, there will be a few times for silent prayer. And during that time, you may pray as you feel led. But if you're not sure what to pray for, take assurance of these words also from Romans 8, where Paul says, "We do not always know what to pray, but God's Spirit intercedes for us." So if you're not sure what to pray for during those silent times, you can sit quietly and just be still and let the Spirit intercede for you. Let us pray. Almighty Father, thank you for sending the gift of your Holy Spirit into this world to fulfill your promise of another helper so that we are not alone, to change hearts and to guide decisions, to empower us in the mission of spreading the gospel, and to bring revival and renewal to your church. We praise you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit and for the numerous ways he is at work in our lives, even when we are not fully aware of his presence. Loving Father, we pray today for the leading of your Spirit here at LaGrave, that we would have vision for ministry here in this place. May your Spirit show us the way to go as we seek to bring Jesus to others. We pray for your Spirit's leading as well for our denomination as Synod prepares to meet next month. We pray that you would guide those meetings and that clarity and insight may be given to each of the delegates. Lord of all creation, we also lift before you all our missionaries, but especially Yuri and Carmen Akavar. We pray that Yuri's classes exam will go well on Tuesday and that you would clear the way for them to receive their visas in order to minister in Belgium. Father, grant them your peace as they wait. Lord, we bring before you now our silent prayers for our congregation, our denomination, and for the worldwide church. We praise you too, Father, for the way your Spirit provides comfort and strength to those who are weary, to those who are weighed down by health challenges. Father, we plead for your hand of mercy to be upon Sandra Destrempis, Susan Haverkamp, Liz Rosaboom, Jonathan Took, and Jim Vandenberg, all who are seeking healing and strength, as well as those who have continuing needs, Barb Berman, Sandy Buter, Don Jansen, Rich Postma, Millie Vrend, and Don Zielstra. We pray for your grace to be poured out not only upon them, but also the friends and families who wait by their sides. Lord, we bring before you not only these people, but also now in silent prayer, all those who are on our hearts and minds. Father, we also give you thanks this morning for your faithfulness to all of us, but especially those who are celebrating special birthdays this week. We ask for your blessing to be upon Jerry Kreif, Alden Walters, and Ann Cunnan. We also lift before you all of our homebound members, that your Spirit would work in their lives to provide all they need each day. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for hearing our prayers and for interceding for us, even when we do not know how to pray. In Jesus' name, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask all these things. Amen.
Good morning. Two readings this morning from the book of Acts on this Pentecost Sunday. First one from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together to be in bewilderment because each one of them heard his own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've just had too much wine." And then Acts 19, the first few verses. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. When he found some disciples, he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." There are about 12 of them in all. This is the word of the Lord. Back when I lived in Toronto some years ago, a friend talked me into visiting a spirit-filled church called the Toronto Airport Vineyard Fellowship. Maybe you've heard of it. The church had become famous for all sorts of strange things happening out there. In 1994, the Toronto Life magazine named the church as the city's top tourist attraction of all things. People were coming from all over the world. I don't know if there were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, but groups of people from Holland and from Germany and from Korea and from Brazil and Israel and, well, you name it, groups of people from all over the world showed up on any given night. Night after night, thousands filled this giant Asian convention center out by the airport, now owned by the Airport Vineyard Church. The night I visited just before Christmas, I think 3 days before Christmas, the snow was flying and the roads were very slick. Small crowd weather, my grandfather would have called it. Inside, hundreds of lights blazed over a giant crowd jam-packed into the place, 4,000 or 5,000 people. We sat in back and watched. There was lots to see and lots to hear. Waves of what people called electric holy laughter sort of swept the crowd back and forth across the place, kind of like a wave at a football game. Individuals staggered around. People said they were drunk with the Spirit, whatever that meant. The praise band played. People sang and danced, and others spoke in tongues. That was all before the actual service began. I couldn't help but asking myself, what in the world is going on here? What could this all mean? People reacted to that first outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost with similar questions. The day started, apparently, as a routine Sunday gathering, Jesus followers. I mean, you might say it was just another day in church. But then as they were all gathered together in one place, the strangest thing happened. All of a sudden, there was a sound of a mighty wind that filled the whole house. As they looked up, they saw what looked like a ball of fire, and parts of it dropped on each person there's head. Tongues of fire, they said. And every last one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then as the Spirit moved, each person there was given to speak with a heavy Galilean accent, some foreign language he or she had never heard or learned. Where did these guys learn to speak Parthian? One of the people in the crowd puzzled. Elamites heard others of them preaching the resurrection of Jesus in perfect Elamese or whatever the language was. Amazing, said another. Love the Galilean accent. Each person in the crowd heard these believers preach the Jesus-drenched wonders of God in his or her own language. Amazed and perplexed, they found themselves asking the question, what could this possibly mean? Of course, some in the crowd offered an immediate explanation. They're filled with new wine, said one of them. They're all tad beyond buzzed. As anyone knows, a buzzed prayer meeting is a drunk prayer meeting. The guys have all had a few too many. They're full of sweet wine. Drunk, that's what they are. Now here at LaGrave, I can't imagine anyone visiting on this Pentecost morning suggesting that we are all drunk with wine, much less drunk with the Holy Spirit. Some of us learned foreign languages in high school and still remember parts of it, but not much speaking in tongues here either. Holy laughter may occur out on the golf course during the golf league when some poor soul hits the third ball into the water hazard. But maybe that's not holy laughter after all. Most people would judge us to be stone cold sober here at LaGrave. No rock and worship music, no prophetic words, a kind of low-key stiff Calvinism, even on Pentecost. I used to kid around saying that our key verse in the Christian Reformed Church was, we didn't know there even was a Holy Spirit. Some would question if the Holy Spirit is here this morning. How do you know that there's a Holy Spirit in and among us at LaGrave? Tongues of fire, miracles, intoxicated with the Spirit. Where are the indication of the Spirit's activities at LaGrave anyway? When Paul asked those 12 guys in Acts 19 if they'd received the Holy Spirit when they believed, one of them blurted out that famous verse, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Most of us wouldn't go that far, of course. I joke about it, but we at least realize that there is a Holy Spirit. We say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And in the Nicene Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. But if someone asked, have you received the Holy Spirit when you were baptized, how would you respond? What evidence would you give? I remember a long time ago, one of my kids asked me virtually the same question. How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? He'd read about the Spirit in the Bible. He'd heard people talk about the Holy Spirit in children's sermons and in Sunday school. But if you don't speak in tongues and you haven't had a lockdown supernatural experience, how do you know? I mean, what would you say? On the day of Pentecost, Peter gives guidance to those who are ready to send the whole bunch of believers to a local AA meeting. Peter stands up and addresses the crowd. No, 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 he says, you've got it all wrong. These people, strange as it may seem, are not drunk. This is what the Jewish prophet Joel talked about centuries ago. Joel predicted that in the last day, God would pour out his Spirit on all kinds of people. Today, Peter announces, this is a launch of what Joel saw and promised. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. the Spirit translated prophecy of Jesus, and the tongues of fire are a sign of a whole new phase of God's worldwide saving offer and redemption plan. This is it. And this is just the beginning. Notice, too, in the book of Acts that this Holy Spirit filling is not just a one-day thing on Pentecost in Jerusalem. You can see it lots of places in the book of Acts. Pentecost, as it were, happens again and again. Pentecost kicks off again not long after Pentecost when the believers are all together. They're praying, and they're again filled with the Holy Spirit as the place they're meeting shakes. And people are oddly given a boldness to speak about the resurrection and love of Jesus to other people. A little bit later in the book, Ananias prays over Paul after he's gotten knocked down on the road to Damascus. And the Holy Spirit comes on Paul, and he is filled with the Spirit as well. About the same time, Peter is sent to Caesarea after he sees a sheet come down from heaven, and he meets with the centurion there, and he's just in the middle of his sermon when the Holy Spirit comes on the people who are there, and Peter's forced to stop his sermon right in the middle and acknowledge that these people too are filled with the Spirit. His listeners start praising God and speaking in tongues right there in church in the middle of the service. And then there's that passage where Paul meets the 12 guys in Ephesus that I read. Paul asks them if they received the Spirit when they were baptized. And they respond, no, we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. Turns out they'd been baptized with the baptism of John. John's baptism was intended to prepare people for meeting Jesus, the coming one. You need a baptism upgrade, Paul tells them. So Paul baptizes them into the name of Jesus. And lo and behold, Pentecost happens all over yet again. All 12 of them begin speaking in tongues. And this time, prophecy accompanies what the Spirit does. Now, Reformed people have often pointed to this passage and said, see, if you get baptized into the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit simply comes as part of the package. The Holy Spirit is just part of it all. Pentecostals, on the other hand, point to the same passage and insist that only if you have speaking in tongues was it a full-powered baptism. You have to have the Holy Spirit allow you to speak in tongues for the baptism to be completely authentic. So how do those of us celebrating Pentecost today at LaGrave know if we have the Holy Spirit? Are there any signs of it around here? If at LaGrave you're looking for speaking in tongues, we might find ourselves wishing for a bit stronger evidence. I don't see anybody doing it this morning and didn't expect that there would be a lot. Public speaking in tongues in LaGrave, well, maybe not so much. But what about those other things, wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, or young men who see vision and old men who dream dreams? If you happen to come to LaGrave on a particular Tuesday morning, you might come across Pentecost happening again. I'm told you probably won't hear the sound of a mighty wind or speaking in tongues, but I'm told that the smell of Pentecost kind of hangs in the air. Pentecost smelling like grilling hamburgers with hints of unwashed feet kind of mixed in. The Spirit turning a God-given vision into reality. I'm told once a month right here at LaGrave, the Holy Spirit prompts 40 or 50 followers of Jesus to host a foot washing spa clinic. Sometimes more than 100 of our neighbors stop by for lunch, for fellowship, and to soak their feet in soapy water. And then there are nurses and other volunteers who trim their toenails, and new socks or clean clothes are often on the Spirit's menu. All of it, a Holy Spirit Pentecostal sign of Jesus' resurrection love, extended and received. I'm told that if you stop by the foot washing clinic and you squint a little bit, you can see tongues of fire on people's heads. A sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit right here close to home. Or at Hanlon Prison on Wednesday evenings, another dream of someone's that came reality. Every week, a sign in the overhead right there in the prison Thanks to LaGrave Church for sending people and for sending money to support the ministry there. It's all part of what the Holy Spirit's doing here at LaGrave. We get together, worship, have Holy Communion together often like we're doing this morning. And at the end of the service, we stand in a circle, everyone holding hands, sometimes 50 or 60 of us at a time, singing, "My friends, may you grow in grace." One more indication of the Holy Spirit's present and work here at LaGrave Church. As we listen to the Spirit's promptings, as the Spirit gives us to see vision and to dream dreams, some of us may even be given to speak in tongues. I mean, who knows? But I can't expect that we'll see prayers for healing that are answered, or that the Spirit will fund the needy through some of our giving efforts, or visions that have started the Beats Missionary Society, or visits to the lonely, or food for the hungry. All of these signs of Pentecost. I mean, who knows what a even more Spirit-filled church like LaGrave might look like? Who knows where God might take us? So I guess this morning I want to say, have a blessed Pentecost, listening to the Spirit and responding to those promptings. Celebrate the Spirit is among us, right here at LaGrave Church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please bless us this morning as we celebrate Pentecost. Pour out your Spirit again on us and give us the power to speak boldly about Jesus, to minister in his name, and to do the things that you want each one of us in particular and all of us together to do. Thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy, we praise you, gracious God, for in your great love, out of nothing, you created heaven and earth and everything that is in them. You made us in your image and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
Let us continue in prayer. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had broken it, he said, This is my body given for you. Do this as in remembrance of me.
Thank you.
The body of Christ broken for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins and for the restoration of our lives.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Take, drink, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins.
God's blessing for you as you go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship born of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.